you can see, we have played musical chairs. Your panel now is, to my right, Justice Lee Gabriel, to my left, Justice Bonnie Sutterth, and I'm Leanne Dofano. And you are our second and final case for today's docket. So I understand both sides are ready. All right. If you'll call the case, we'll get started. No, we've done that. All right, Edith.
May it please the court. We are here today on a writ of mandamus filed by two different individuals, Annie Taylor Curtis and Carrie Hughes, and we are seeking relief from an order consolidating their two separately filed cases. Judge Birdwell entered an order consolidating these two cases on February 12, 2015, and under case law and the Texas rules, consolidation under Texas Rule of Civil Procedure 174 is proper for actions involving common questions of law and fact to avoid unnecessary costs or delay, as long as the trial will be fair and impartial to all parties. And that's what we're really focusing on here today. Here, Taylor Curtis and Hughes contend that Judge Birdwell did not give due weight to the factor of prejudice, and that both of them will suffer if their cases are tried together, and so it was an abuse of discretion for him to consolidate these cases.
Can you articulate for me what the prejudice is?
Sure. We believe that it is an issue of jury confusion. What we've got is two different plaintiffs that applied for the same position, and they were both denied that position. We believe if these cases are tried together, the...
In what way will the jury be confused?
Well, we think that...
Potentially.
They would potentially focus on the fact that would compare the two plaintiffs rather than and determine, they might pick a plaintiff, so to speak. They might decide that instead of discrimination happening, even if it happened in both cases, only one plaintiff should win. And we don't believe that that is the correct standard under the Texas Labor Code. We don't believe that it contemplates that in a promotion case, only one plaintiff is allowed to recover damages.
So it's your position that both could recover compensatory damages?
Yes, it is. I don't think that there's nothing in if you look at the language of the Texas Labor Code itself, under Chapter 21, it's different than, I know that the city has cited the Arnold case, and I guess that's what you're referring to. Am I correct? In that particular case, in the Arnold case, they use but-for language, and that's not the language in under Chapter 21 of the Texas Labor Code. It actually states, and I'll actually read what the statute itself says, an employer commits an unlawful employment practice if because of race, color, disability, religion, sex, national origin, or age, the employer fails or refuses to hire an individual, discharges an individual, or discriminates in any other manner against an individual in connection with compensation or the terms, conditions, or privileges of employment. I don't think there's anything in there that says that, there's certainly nothing about a promotion case, and there's certainly not the but-for language that was used in the Arnold case either.
So what damages would be recoverable if both could prevail?
Well, they've also suffered separate damages. I mean, the compensatory damages are for mental suffering, and obviously they're two different people, so that would be individualized to each plaintiff. What the emotional distress that Carrie Hughes suffered is different than the emotional distress that Taylor Curtis suffered. So I don't see how only one could recover damages if they have their own suffering. So we believe that, and actually in the hearing, Judge Birdwell stated that he understood the law to contemplate that you can have two instances of discrimination with regard to one posting or employment position. So he actually did give weight to our arguments on that point, but he didn't see how any jury confusion couldn't be cured by jury instructions. And it's, as I stated before, it's our position that the jury could easily be confused, and that would be something that would be impossible to untangle on appeal. The jury would go into the jury room, come back with a verdict, and if they found for one plaintiff, we wouldn't be able to tell what the reason was. It would be virtually impossible for us to appeal that issue, and we believe mandamus is the only way that we can correct that before it happens. And the city does not dispute that there's a high likelihood that a jury would decide to pick a plaintiff and award damages to only one. I don't think that that's something that is that they're disputing, and in fact it seems to be one reason they filed for consolidation in the first place. And as I said before, there's no case law in Texas on this issue in terms of a failure to promote case where that says that compensatory damages or damages can only be awarded to one plaintiff. And I also believe it specifically contradicts the remedial purposes of the civil rights laws that both Taylor Curtis and Hughes seek relief under, because one of the express purposes of Chapter 21 of the Labor Code is to eradicate discrimination in employment practices. Further, the purpose of the award of damages such as compensatory damages is to make persons whole for injuries they suffered on account of unlawful discrimination. And except in the case of punitive damages, part of the calculation isn't whether the defendant is going to be punished or not. The issue is really to make plaintiffs whole for suffering discrimination and to prevent discrimination in the first place. In a consolidated case, a jury will inevitably be comparing the qualifications of Taylor Curtis to Hughes and vice versa. And although in a discrimination case, this is one way a plaintiff can prove discrimination, that they were best qualified for a promotion, it's not the only way to prove discrimination. By consolidating the cases, it takes the focus away from the other ways that we expect to prove discrimination at trial and puts the focus on comparing the two, both Taylor Curtis and Hughes, to each other. And we don't think that would be fair to either of them. Another way that a plaintiff can show discrimination is that the defendant's reason for failing to promote is unworthy of credence. So if they gave a false reason to Taylor Curtis, that's different than the false reason they give to Hughes. We think that that could pose confusion of the issues as well.
If a jury can apportion liability among multiple defendants, why should we assume that a jury could not make that same kind of distinction on behalf of plaintiffs?
Well, again, I think part of the problem is that once the confusion is infected, we won't be able to determine how to untangle that. I mean,
would that be true for every multiple defendant case then?
I think that this case is different because we're talking about the same promotion. And so there's a heightened risk of jury confusion in this case. Another way that prejudice affects these cases is that these two cases are at entirely different phases of the litigation process. The Texas Labor Code does call for an expedited trial setting. That's actually in the Texas Labor Code for these for discrimination cases. And the Taylor Curtis case, discovery is almost complete. By the time the consolidation order came down, we had completed written discovery. We conducted depositions, over half the depositions. So the fact that Taylor Curtis is now being forced to try her case with Hughes puts her back a step.
Didn't they say they'd be ready by October or sometime in the fall?
Well, we haven't even started written discovery in the Hughes case, and so as far as whether we'll have to file...
Because you abated that while you took this appeal up?
Well, we feel the jury confusion issue was extremely important and something that could affect the outcome for both these plaintiffs, so that's why we went ahead and took the appeal.
You have to abate the discovery. You could have gone ahead with that, couldn't you?
We don't know what decision the court is going to make. And so as far as, since the cases are consolidated, if we take the depositions in, we don't know if we need to take the depositions for both plaintiffs or with the eye on separate cases. So in terms of having to duplicate discovery, we'd rather have this issue settled before moving forward with it. But we do believe that the fact that these cases were consolidated affects Taylor Curtis materially in terms of her ability to get to trial in a timely manner.
So you're alleging race and gender in the Taylor Curtis case and age?
Not gender, race, color, ethnicity, and national origin. And she's an African American female.
Essentially race.
Yes.
But not gender.
Right, not gender. But Carrie Hughes does have an age claim.
And Carrie Hughes has an age claim. So they, okay.
Yes. So, for the reasons that I've stated, we respectfully request that this court issue a writ of mandamus directing respondent to vacate his order consolidating these two cases and further directing respondent to take all action necessary to return the independent action styled Carrie Hughes versus City of Fort Worth to the docket of the 153rd District Court. And any other, we further pray that the court grant us any other relief we are entitled.
You just said 153rd, and I've read the briefs, but I didn't read anything about a case transfer.
Well, the cases were consolidated. Carrie Hughes filed his case, and it was in the 153rd. And when they were consolidated with the earlier filed case, which was the Taylor Curtis matter.
Okay, so they were. It was one was in 153rd, one was in the 342nd, and then they got consolidated into the 342nd.
That's correct.
Okay. Questions?
Any further questions?
Thank you. Do you go by Christopher or Chris?
Chris is fine.
All right.
Good afternoon, and may it please the court, counsel. My name is Chris Trout, and along with Elizabeth Dierdorf, I represent the City of Fort Worth in this matter. Judge Birdwell did not abuse his discretion in consolidating these two cases because one judge and one jury should be determining whether this one employment decision was motivated by discrimination, and if so, what the measure of damages should be. I'd like to talk about three basic points, if I may, with the court's indulgence. First off, these two cases should be consolidated or remain consolidated because separate trials could result in conflicting findings and will also prevent a key issue from ever being decided, and that is, what is the measure of damages, as the court has identified, what's the measure of damages when two plaintiffs sue the same employer for a promotion that only one of them could possibly have received? My second point is that Judge Birdwell did not abuse his discretion in consolidating the two cases because the elements for consolidation were all met. And thirdly, I'm going to be arguing that the relators here do have an adequate remedy on appeal. With respect to the first point.
You're saying that if, let's say, you had more plaintiffs and you had a race discrimination complaint, you had a gender discrimination complaint, age discrimination complaint, religion discrimination complaint, I can't remember how many more there are, but they would all have such a community of interest that they should all the cases should be tried together because it's the same defendant?
Not because it's the same defendant, but because it's the same employment decision. One employment decision was made to choose the person for the IT solutions manager position, Kazi Rahman. And what the reason they filed these two lawsuits is because Kazi Rahman is of a different race and a different national origin than either Mr. Hughes or Ms. Taylor Curtis. And if he'd been of a different religion or a different gender, in which case, or any other factors as you identified that the Texas Labor Code
would require.
Well, he's not
a plaintiff.
I'm sorry?
He's not a plaintiff.
No, he's not.
I'm talking about plaintiffs, lumping all the plaintiffs together. So isn't that telling the jury, okay, pick which one should have gotten the job?
Not entirely, because...
I mean, how's the jury going to find for all of them, realistically?
I'm sorry?
How's the jury going to find for all of them, realistically? There's no way.
I think what, first off, Justice Dofano, what the jury will be looking at is the one employment decision that was made, which was to choose Kazi Rahman over everyone else. And if everyone else sues us, that they would be on the basis of that person you chose is of a different race, a different national origin, a different gender than I am. That's part of the prima facie case. So in that situation, what the city would be arguing in a consolidated case here is, yes, in fact, at some point, this jury needs to decide who was going to get that job. Was it the person the city selected, or was it one of the two or the four or the 52 plaintiffs, potentially, that could have filed a lawsuit in this case? Now, that issue is not before you today. You don't have to decide what the measure of damages is. But our point here is that only with a consolidated case, with these two cases tried together, can that issue be brought forth. Can that issue be decided? There are no Texas cases that cover this ground. So we feel like the only way, and I think it's clear, the only way that issue can be presented is in a consolidated case so that Judge
Burgler... So part of your motivation is to get this teed up for the Supreme Court to give you a ruling on what is the measure in this situation.
I think we need a court to tell us exactly what the measure of damages in a case like this is. And you're right, Justice Sutterth. The way to do that is to have a consolidated case, have that issue decided by the trial judge, Judge Birdwell in this case, and then if someone is aggrieved by that, they can take that up on appeal and we can decide that issue at that point. And the court can tell us what the end result is, and we, of course, will live with that.
So your position is essentially the same as appellant's. The jury will choose one person who should have gotten the job, and the issue is how do you apportion the damages when one person was clearly more qualified than anybody else and the other plaintiffs were not. Are they entitled to damages or are they? So you're in agreement with the result of doing this?
I think indeed that is the point we will be making to Judge Birdwell in the consolidated case to resolve that issue. And
you think it is a but-for test?
It's not necessarily a but-for test. It is the question that will be asked the jury is, was race, religion, whatever, a motivating factor in the decision to choose the person who was selected?
But then when you go to the damages question, that's the but-for.
The damages question is
in your mind.
Yeah, it's going to be one position is available, only one set of, let's say, back pay and front pay can be awarded to a plaintiff in this case because there was only one position. The city should not be in a situation to have to pay two or 52 okay. people back
then,
pay and front pay.
Then are you anticipating that there might be an instruction in the charge that would say, or somewhere in the charge that would say, you can give pain and suffering to any number if the evidence supports it, but the back pay and the front pay, there's only one that can prevail under that theory?
I'll be candid with you. We have not fleshed that issue out completely, but it will at least be, with respect to back pay and front pay, only one person can get those damages. Perhaps, I'm not conceding this, but perhaps in this case, both Mr. Hughes and Ms. Taylor Curtis might be able to recover compensatory damages if they prove discrimination occurred and if we do not succeed on our defense that we would have made the same decision even in the absence of discrimination that the jury found. Compensatory damages may be available. Attorney's fees may be available. But with respect to back pay and front pay, I think that's a position we'll be taking with Judge Birdwell, is that back pay and front pay should only go to one party. And again, that is not an issue that we are presenting to this court to decide today. We're only bringing that up so that we can make it clear that only in a consolidated case can that issue be determined. If these cases are tried separately, We never get to make that argument. We never have that issue decided, because in the first case, whatever happens there, we can't just transfer that over to the second case and say, look what happened over here, so this person won, so this other plaintiff can't win. That wouldn't be proper. It's not collateral estoppel. It's not res judicata. So the only way we can have that determined is in a consolidated trial. The second point I'd like to talk about is that the elements of consolidation under Rule 174 were all met, and Judge Birdwell did a good job of articulating those, I believe, in the hearing. The transcript of the hearing is in the record. And I was happy to hear Ms. Thomas, in essence, concede that really they're talking about the prejudice, the fourth element, if you will, of the four factors that go into consolidation. They're only talking about the prejudice to their clients that might come from consolidation. So the real dispute is between the parties is the element of undue prejudice. And we would say, well, I would summarize their argument that they say they're prejudiced for three reasons: delay in trial, jury confusion, and the fact they have common counsel. As Ms. Thomas noted, Texas Labor Code 21.257 does give an expedited trial setting to employment discrimination cases on the earliest practicable date. Well, practicable means a lot. It means you take into account the court's docket, you take into account the attorney's schedules, you take into account the witness availability to determine when a practicable date is. And in terms of proving prejudice, their burden to prove prejudice here. This court, way back in 1961, decided the Potter versus Parks case and said that prejudice in a matter like this can't be presumed, it has to be proven. Well, that's exactly what they're asking you to do. They're asking you to presume that a trial in June is an expedited one, but a trial for some reason in August, September, October is not. There's no evidence in the record of that. There's nothing that would support a finding of prejudice based on that record that's in here, that's in this court. Now, we could have had a consolidated case tried in June. If this mandamus either hadn't been filed or if the discovery in the case hadn't been stayed, we could have been taking depositions, getting ready for trial in March and April, but instead we're here dealing with this matter.
How similar do their interests have to be required to try the case together?
I don't know the answer to that question other than that their interests are clearly sufficiently similar.
Well, you can't just tell me why.
Okay. They're similar because they've applied for the same position.
One is race, one's age. The person claiming race might say he really is too old for the job. The one claiming age may claim, you got to have somebody my age. She's clearly too young for the job to have enough experience. So, I mean, doesn't their interest have to mesh so that they're riding the same horse?
They are riding the same horse. And
well,
if you look at their pleadings, they both are claiming race discrimination. They are both claiming color discrimination. They are both claiming national origin discrimination. And to the extent it's different, they're also claiming ethnicity discrimination. The only place where they differ is Mr. Hughes is also claiming age discrimination. So the evidence that's presented here will be that both plaintiffs, both relators here, applied for the same position, went through the same interview process, they were aggrieved by the same one employment decision to choose Kazi Rahman over either of them. So they're riding the same horse all the way up till you get to the point of the age discrimination. And we understand that's different. And if that case, survives summary judgment, we'll be at trial, and that will be handled with a small bit of evidence about whose age, who's what age, whatever motivation they can prove, and one jury question that says, was the decision to choose Kazi Rahman motivated by Carrie Hughes' age or Kazi Rahman's age? And that's the end of that question. If they find that, then they get to the, damages questions. So there's not much difference between the two of these. It's hard to imagine really two cases that are that would be more identical in an employment dispute like this, with the same promotion, the same decision, and virtually the same causes of action. So really the potential the potential for jury confusion here we think is very minimal. As the court has pointed out, juries day in and day out make complicated decisions about multiple plaintiffs and multiple defendants. Any potential confusion that may be out there can be handled by Judge Birdwell, we believe, through very simple jury instructions. We don't think this is a very complicated situation for them to decide. Whether he decides we are right and only one person gets to recover back pay, front pay, for example, or whether they're right and both get to recover full measure. Let's take that for an example. Let's say Judge Birdwell decides both plaintiffs get to recover the full measure of damages. Well, a jury instruction, all Judge Birdwell would have to say is to the jury, don't consider any damages you've given to Kerry Hughes when you're considering damages you're giving to Annie Taylor Curtis, and vice versa. Very simple to handle that if he decides that they're right and we're wrong with respect to who can recover what. Let me go to my last point, and that is adequate remedy on appeal. I hope I've convinced you in this argument in our briefing that there was no abuse of discretion. But even if there is found to be, they still have to show, the relators still have to show, that they have no adequate remedy on appeal. And the standard for deciding that was set in the In re Van Waters case by the Texas Supreme Court that made it clear that because consolidation does not typically affect substantial rights, you have to show extraordinary circumstances in order for there to be no adequate remedy on appeal. And in that case, there were hundreds of plaintiffs and scores of defendants in a workplace tort, toxic tort situation. And the court, I think, rightly said there was just no way to untangle all the jury findings that may be made because of all those people involved. We don't have the same level of confusion of issues or identity of parties in this case. It's nothing close to that. So we would say the potential for jury confusion is very minimal, and they just don't reach the extraordinary circumstances standard that the court has set for an adequate remedy on appeal in a consolidation matter. As I said in the beginning of my argument, Judge Birdwell did not abuse his discretion, and we would ask the court to deny the petition for writ of mandamus.
Any questions? Thank you. Edith?
I think that what this really is they're trying to make it a zero-sum game. And as far as making new law, that shouldn't come to at the expense of either Taylor Curtis or Hughes. They both have a right to have their claims heard fairly and without prejudice. And by making this a zero-sum game where only one of them is, and the city's freely admitted that they want to limit any damages as much as possible, through consolidation, we're really sacrificing their rights, Taylor Hughes and Curtis's, to try and make new law. And that's not something that is fair to either one of them, and that also meets the prejudice standard that we've talked about so much. These are also cases that this is, as we discussed with the Arnold case, that uses a but-for standard. And this is more of a motivating factor type standard that should be used in this case. And with the motivating factor standard, that means that you can have multiple plaintiffs that were discriminated against in the same decision. It doesn't have to be the sole reason. We're not talking about a sole reason, but if it infected the process, then they have a right to have their case heard and a right to damages in these cases. The city talked about the fact that they wouldn't be able to properly appeal this case if they believe that they got inconsistent results, but they can still appeal even if these cases are not consolidated. And although there was some discussion that these cases, that there are no two cases that are more alike, we have to remember that the Hughes case especially has just started discovery. So there's a lot of information we don't know about the decision-making process as it relates specifically to Kerry Hughes as opposed to Taylor Curtis. Yes, it was one promotion, but that doesn't mean that the same factors were used in determining not to hire Taylor Curtis versus not to hire Kerry Hughes. As I mentioned before, these cases are at very different stages of litigation. One was filed May 27th of last year, and the other was filed January 19th of this year. So we've got a good 7 months between them, and I think that that's very important, because I think that we need to keep in mind that Taylor Curtis has already conducted a lot of the work in her discovery, and we know a lot more about that case than we do in terms of the internal decision-making process with Kerry Hughes. So to say that these two cases are so similar that they have to be consolidated is premature. But I think really the bottom line is what they're trying to do is make it a zero-sum game, and that is the definition of prejudice. So these cases should not be consolidated. Are there any further questions?
Thank you. We appreciate your argument. Your case is submitted, and you are free to go about your business. This court will be adjourned.